Hello, good morning, everybody. Ooh, it's a little loud. This is Bio 231, and we're in the middle of the tissues chapter, and today is September 8th. So I just turned the recorder on, and so far so good. I have captured all of the lectures, put them online, so you can go ahead and listen to them, or not listen to them. Over and over and over again. I have one kind of fun story regarding those lectures. Somebody was listening to them over and over and over again, and they would play them in the car. And there was a comment from the back seat, "Mommy, do we have to listen to that song again?" So anyway, go ahead and listen to them as much as you can to learn the vocabulary, pronunciation. The sign-in sheet is going around. Make sure you sign the sign-in sheet. That's your receipt that you are here in class. If you're not on that list, then there's probably a serious problem with your registration that we got to figure out. So make sure that you can find your name on that list. There shouldn't be anybody off that list. And let's look at the schedule. So today is the 8th. We're going to finish up tissues and move into integument. And you all know what the integumentary system is. So today is a Monday, and next Monday, the 15th, we're going to have a lecture, but the Wednesday right after next week, right, we're going to have exam number one. So that first exam is about a week and a half away. So it's coming upon us, and you know the chapters, 1 through 6, except chapter 3, so 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Fortunately, you don't have a practicum that week, it's the week after that. So you'll only get a lecture exam. And it's going to cover these chapters, those page numbers, and you should be doing pretty good in Blackboard. So, does anybody have a question over the schedule or how to get into Blackboard, how to use Blackboard, any of that kind of stuff? I graded everybody's assignments, put your grades into Blackboard, so they should all be there. So there's a couple there's one class that didn't take a quiz yet, so I didn't grade that one. All right, so last time, I don't see any hands. So last time we started talking about connective tissue. Let's review just a little bit. What are the four main kinds of connective tissues? What are the four main kinds? There we go. It's on that slide. I'm going to turn the lights down just a little bit so it's easier to see, like that. How many types of tissues? Four, yeah, that's pretty easy. And you got to know their names. And probably in the order that you see them right there, you should know there is the first one, epithelium, then connective tissue, then muscle, and then nervous tissue. And you should kind of have a sense of what these different tissues do in the body. For instance, an epithelium covers a surface, lines a cavity. So the lining of the digestive tract is an epithelium. The lining of your lungs is an epithelium. That's on the inside. Reproductive system, digestive system, they're all epithelia. And even your skin, I can't remember if I said that or not. That is an epithelium covering your skin. But it also makes glands. So a group of epithelial cells can all secrete a certain product. And the product can have two different fates. What are the fates of something that a gland cell secretes? What are the two possible fates? Meaning, where can it go? There are two main places where something can go, that product can go. Where are these two places? Okay, a gland cell can secrete something into the interstitial space, and then it can travel into a capillary, into the blood, and when it's in the blood, where does it go? It goes everywhere in the body, wherever the blood goes, right? So there is one kind of gland that delivers its product all over the body, by a blood vessel, takes it there. The second kind of gland doesn't secrete into the interstitial space and doesn't get picked up by the blood, so you might wonder, how does this product get from one place to another? Yeah. It has a duct, that's right. So there's a special structure that actually takes that product and delivers it exactly where it belongs. For instance, a good example of that would be salivary gland. So you have three salivary glands or sets of them, and they produce saliva, and it gets into a duct, and it eventually ends up in your oral cavity, okay? Not in your blood. So we classify those two different glands depending on where they secrete their substances as either being an endocrine gland or an exocrine gland. Which one has a duct? Exocrine. And the one that does not have a duct? Endocrine gland, but that's okay because it has the blood vessels to carry hormones around all over the place. So an exocrine gland does not make a hormone. It is an endocrine gland that produces and secretes a hormone. All right, so those are some characteristics of epithelia. I guess I'm going to put this schedule away. Don't need that anymore. Remember, we classify epithelia in how many different ways? Yeah, two. Some I heard two over there. Right, two ways, by the number of layers and by the shape of the cells. You should be familiar with that. We'll go over that again in lab this afternoon. Let's see, does an epithelium ever have a blood vessel in it? No, it's always devoid of a blood vessel. Strange. It can be nearby in some connective tissue, but never in the epithelium. And what about the cells in an epithelium? Look at these cells right here. I see some glands. What about these cells? Is there a big space between cells? And as a matter of fact, on this illustration, do you see any space between cells?
No.
No, there's no space between the cells, right? Cells are right next to each other. So take a look at this. So here's a gland deep down in some connective tissue, and trace those cells around, and where do they end up? Right on the surface of whatever organ this is. And so what are these cells right here, right on the surface? It's an epithelium, right, because it's covering the surface. They kind of look cuboidal, and it's continuous with these cells down over here, so it's really easy to see that these glands are made up of epithelial cells, epithelium. Okay. And I think we got done talking about these different shapes of cells. Basically, there's two shapes. There's tubular, which is just linear, and alveolar, which means it forms like a little grape or berry, a little spherical object here. And anytime you hear alveolus, you should think of that particular kind of shape. All right, so that's it for epithelium. Anybody have a question on epithelium? All right, I think we looked at all the different slides of different kinds. So let's move on to connective tissue. All right, so connective tissue does exactly what it says. It connects different parts of your body together. And for instance, a tendon connects a muscle to a bone, and when that muscle contracts, it moves that bone around. Maybe a muscle is connected between two bones, and then it will bring those two bones together. So that's a connective tissue. A ligament pretty much does the same thing. It connects a bone to another bone. Maybe it's a limit motion, but nonetheless, it connects them together. Ligaments and tendons are made out of dense, regular connective tissue. A lot of tissues in your body are not nearly as strong. So they have different kinds of properties. So we're going to look at some cartilage, some bone, and even blood is an important connective tissue. Let me find an example of, I tell you what, let's look at this one. Here's a nice example of an epithelium, right? Cells are close together. Basal surface, apical surface, blood vessel, not in the epithelium, it's underneath, and then here's the basement membrane. So here's the apical layer, here's the basal layer. So it's easy to find your way around in an epithelium, especially underneath the microscope, because you should always look for this basement membrane and then count the number of cells up to the apical surface to find out if it's squamous, if it's stratified or if it is simple. All right. So, connective tissue. Here's a good illustration of a connective tissue. I don't know if this is an exam figure or not. Does anybody know if they saw this as an exam figure? I don't know if it is or not. Maybe, but let's go over it anyway. Here is a cell right here. That's a mast cell. And then here's another neighboring cell right over here. And then here's another neighboring cell way up over here. Now, what can you tell me about these three cells? Are they tightly packed together, or is there space between them? Yeah, there's a huge space between them, right? So can that be an epithelium? No. When you look at this slide, is there another way you can tell this is not epithelium? Yeah, how's that? Blood vessels. Nice. Look at this blood vessel right here. And that's a really tiny one, specialized for exchange. We call that a capillary. So this cannot be an epithelium, and indeed it is a connective tissue. So it has to have something that makes it a connective tissue. So the cells are far apart, number one. And the space between cells is very special, right? And that's what we call the matrix. Extracellular matrix is kind of funny because extracellular means matrix. Matrix means extracellular, but if you want to say extracellular matrix, that's fine with me. They're kind of like almost synonyms when it comes to connective tissue. Sort of reminds me of a place where I used to live in Colorado. Right? It had two names that were the same. I lived in a little neighborhood called Table Mesa. I always thought that was kind of funny. Okay. So the matrix right here, you notice that it has some fibers, right? And there's some spaces where it doesn't have fibers. So the matrix is made up of these two components, fibers, and this area right here without fibers is called ground substance. And if you look at the fibers, I see here's one kind of fiber, here's a second kind. Can you see that there's a difference? Right? There's collagen and elastic. Which one is thicker? Yeah, the collagen is a lot thicker. That means it's a lot stronger fiber. Collagen is extremely strong. If we pull it from end to end, it doesn't stretch, and it hardly ever breaks because it's so strong. But if you pull it from side to side, then you can put these little rips or tears in it. Right, but from end to end, it's very, very strong. And then the second fiber that I see right here, we call that elastic fiber. So what's the nice thing about elastic fibers? Yeah, they're stretchy, and then they go back to their original length when that tension is reduced or when it's relieved. All right, so it's not as strong as collagen, but it connects things together in a little bit different way, right, in a stretchy way. And then the last one I see is the thinnest fiber. It's highly branched, and this is what we call a reticular fiber. Reticular fibers are very weak. They can barely hold organs together. And as a matter of fact, there's one organ that only has reticular fibers in it, and that's the spleen. So what can you tell me about the spleen? Is it a big, tough organ? No, it's not, right? It's easily damaged when it's traumatized. And it's highly vascular, which means that there is hemorrhage associated with it. So that's kind of a dangerous organ to lacerate or to crush or to break apart due to trauma, because these reticular fibers are so weak that you can't even put a suture in that organ to bring the ends together or the pieces of that organ together. Because even just by trying to sew it closed, that will even rip more. So that's one of the problems with the spleen. So those are the three kinds of fibers. In the ground substance, there are proteins modified with a sugar molecule, and they act as a sponge. They absorb water. They hold a lot of water in your body, especially within the matrix. All right, so that's the matrix. Let's talk about the cells. Here is a cell, and I see that it's touching these collagen fibers, and it looks like it's secreting these fibers into a place. Where does this cell secrete fibers into? It secretes these fibers into the matrix. Yeah, right into the matrix. So the matrix is what? Extracellular. So here's a cell that secretes fibers into the matrix, so we call that a fibroblast. And we're going to look at some pictures, and you can see the nucleus of a fibroblast, but we can't really see the cell membrane just because of the way the tissue is stained. All right, so that's a good way to think of pretty much any kind of connective tissue. Every connective tissue doesn't have all of these things and maybe doesn't really look like that. But here is a kind of connective tissue that looks amazingly like that illustration. I see some big, thick fibers, right? What are these right here? Collagen. And what can you tell me about collagen? It's strong. It's super strong. It's like a steel cable or Kevlar cable. You can't really stretch it unless you stretch it from side to side. Then it can rip. All right, then here is a nucleus, and it belongs to a cell that secretes these fibers into the matrix. That is a fibroblast. All right, so a fibroblast is a cell, but what can you tell me about a nucleus? Is a nucleus a cell? What is a nucleus? I think I heard it. It's an organelle. Yeah, it's an organelle. It's not a cell. So if on a test, and you need to label what you see right here, if the question is, name the cell, what would you say? fibroblast. All right, you don't want to say nuclei because a nuclei is not a cell, it's just an organelle. But if the question is what organelle is that, then you don't want to put fibroblast. You'd want to say, that's just the nucleus of that particular cell. So always read the question and answer it as specifically as you can. I see some elastic fibers in here as well besides the collagen. I don't see any reticular fibers, so here's a connective tissue without reticular fibers. And notice that the collagen is going in all different directions, so it's not strong in one direction, right and left, up and down, backwards and forwards, but it's kind of strong in all directions because that's how collagen is oriented, all directions. Yeah, hi. Okay, yeah. So this is kind of a strong tissue, but really not that strong because there's not a whole lot of collagen and it goes in all different kinds of directions. But you see it has a lot of brown substance, so a lot of water can be contained in this particular kind of connective tissue. All right, next one. I'm going to slide over and come back to that. Here is a really good example of some fibers in the matrix, and these fibers you haven't seen a picture of before, and notice how dark they are. And look at the branching pattern. Right, it's almost kind of twisted, it's very gnarly looking, kind of looks like a tree root or something. These are the classic look of a reticular fiber. They stain very, very dark like that, so I think you'll be able to pick these out without too much of a problem. Reticular connective tissue. Oh, here's an example of a spleen. So if this part of the spleen is damaged, guess what has to happen? Got to tie off these blood vessels and then remove that whole part of the spleen. Or if the whole spleen is damaged, you got to tie off these blood vessels and remove the whole spleen. So maybe later on in the class you'll be interested to know what the function of the spleen is and then what happens to somebody when they lose their spleen, if they are missing that organ. Because it's in your body, it probably belongs there for a reason, and then what happens to you when it's gone. That's something to think about. Reticular. Let's look at the slide after the one I just showed you. These are all collagen fibers. Maybe you could tell these are collagen, and they're all oriented in one direction. So this tissue is extremely strong from right to left. Right? It just won't stretch, won't get damaged. But if you pull it from top to bottom, then these collagen filaments can rip apart and form a tear within a tendon or a ligament. This is what we call dense, regular connective tissue for tendons and ligaments. It's the strongest kind of connective tissue. And then, what is this right here? What organelle is this? This is a nucleus. And where does this nucleus belong? What kind of cell? A fibroblast. Yeah, that's not too hard to see. All right, so this is a really, really strong type of tissue, but you should only put tension on it in one direction, right? So, for instance, if you sprain an ankle or twist a knee or something, then it's easy to damage this kind of connective tissue because you'll be pulling it from side to side. Here is a dense kind of connective tissue. It's dense because it has a lot of collagen, but we call this irregular because collagen bundles are going in all different directions. All right, so here is one going right to left. Here's kind of like a circular one that's going in and out of the plane of this particular image. All right, so probably we could find some that go up and down as well. Here's one that's kind of going up and down. So here is a connective tissue that can withstand a lot of force in all directions, but not nearly as strong as dense regular in one particular direction. And again, these cells that secrete fibers into the matrix are fibroblasts. Yeah, they're all fibroblasts. And here is matrix. Now, how do you know this is a connective tissue, not an epithelium? Connective tissue. Easiest way? The cells are far apart. Here's one here, and then you go way over through the matrix to get to a neighboring cell. Right, so that's a really easy way to tell. There is an elastic tissue. Oh, too bad I can't zoom in without losing. So here is a kind of tissue that has a lot of elastic fibers. Maybe let's see if I can zoom in without getting too grainy. All right, well, these fibers are thinner than collagen fibers, and they're really kind of linear. They're not that gnarly pattern that you see with the reticular fibers. So these are elastic fibers. This is the elastic connective tissue. All right, the next three that we're going to look at, when I look at them, I just see a speckle pattern. I just see some random dots all over the place, a little speckle pattern. And then I know that to be cartilage. So here is cartilage. And what area in this connective tissue am I circling right here? This is a? Yeah, that's the matrix. And in this matrix, do you see any fibers? No, you don't see any fibers. So this is a particular kind of cartilage that we call hyaline cartilage. It's relatively weak kind of cartilage because it doesn't have fibers. It's kind of smooth and slippery, very bendable, covers the ends of bones where they articulate with another bone or form a joint. And it doesn't, as you saw, it doesn't contain any fibers. Here is the cell that secretes this material, which is called ground substance, into the matrix, and that's not called a fibroblast, right? The cell that's in cartilage is called a chondrocyte. So anytime you hear chondro, you should think of cartilage. Right, so here is a chondrocyte, and you see that it's within this little bubble. That little bubble is a hole or a pit within the matrix, and we call that a lacuna. So here is a lacuna right here that contains a chondrocyte, and then here is the nucleus of that chondrocyte. So this right here is not the nucleus, that's the whole cell. And a nice, smooth, slippery connective tissue cartilage that's not very strong. Well, you need some different kinds of cartilages in your body. You might like some that are bendable, and when you release them, they go back to their original location. And so then you know that it's going to have a lot of elastic fibers. So here is, name this cell right here. What kind of cell is this? This is a, would you call this a fibroblast? No. I see kind of a speckle pattern. This is a chondrocyte. Chondrocyte, because it is still cartilage, but it has fibers, and the kind of fibers it has is elastic fibers. Elastic fibers do have a branching pattern to them, but not nearly so weird as the reticular. So elastic cartilage is a kind of connective tissue, elastic cartilage. All right, there's another kind of cartilage that is very strong. It's the strongest kind of cartilage. So would you guess it has any fibers in it? Yes. What kind of fibers if it's the strongest? Collagen, yeah. And we call that fibrocartilage that we see on the next slide. I see a little speckle pattern, so I know right away this is a cartilage. I see a chondrocyte in the lacunae, and now I see that very familiar collagen fibers, and they're oriented all in one direction. So this is fibrocartilage, collagen fibers, chondrocytes. Nice. Some places where you would find this tougher kind of cartilage is in the spaces between your vertebrae. Intervertebral discs have a component of this kind of material to separate the vertebral discs. You also have some of this fibrocartilage that separates bones in your leg at the knee. It's called a meniscus, right? And a meniscus and even the intervertebral disc is kind of strong because it has all these fibers, but it's not as strong as bone. Bone is still stronger. So if you twist the knee the wrong way, is it easier to damage a bone that's around your knee or the meniscus? Meniscus, yeah, it's easy to tear a meniscus, even though it's this tough connective tissue, but it's still cartilage, it's not bone. And here you can see an example between different vertebrae that make up the spinal vertebral column, that make up the vertebral column. All right, so that's three kinds of cartilage, and they all contain chondrocytes with either no fibers or different kinds of fibers for different purposes. And cartilage is really nice, right? Because here is your ear that's made up of elastic cartilage. Cartilage is really nice because it's light compared to bone. If all the bone in your body, if all the cartilage in your body was converted to bone, you'd be a lot bigger, a lot heavier. It would take a lot more energy for you to move around, just go about your everyday, daily life. So cartilage is light, and it can form structures. The downside is that it's not as strong as bone. Okay, so that is cartilage. We're doing pretty good. The next one, right here. Now, there's a pattern that you should probably see, a repeated pattern. What kind of pattern do you see on this slide here? I see circles. Yeah, I see circles, right? And these circles have a certain thickness, like from here to here. It goes all the way around. That's called a lamella. Oh, here it says lamella is one of these circles. It's actually a layer, right? And there's another lamella on top of that and another lamella on top of that. It almost doesn't look like a human body. It actually looks like something from a botany class, right? These remind me of tree rings, and it's really obvious to see, but they're not tree rings. These are cylinders that make up bone. So this could be called osseous tissue or bone connective tissue. It's a connective tissue. And it has lacunae as well. See all these little pits right here? And inside the lacunae, you have cells. Now, would you want to call these cells chondrocytes? No, because it's not cartilage. It's bone. You want to call these things osteocytes. Osteocytes, right? Remember, anytime you hear this word osteo or osseous, osteo, that refers to bone every time. Right, so these are osteocytes in lacunae. And you can maybe even see some of these like ray-like patterns. There are special little tubes connect the lacunae together. When we get to bone real soon, we're going to look at those. Those are called canaliculi. So material can move from this central canal into this lacunae and into this one. Like glucose can move from one place to another. CO2 can move through bone. Even though bone is a solid, it still has these little tiny little canals between the osteocytes. Okay, osseous, bone connective tissue. Here is a strange connective tissue, especially after looking at bone, because bone is a very solid connective tissue. Here's a connective tissue, and I know it's connective because the cells are far apart. It's not an epithelium. I see these, nice and circular, and this light area in the center just means that the cell is really thin in this region, and it's thick in the periphery, right? So this is just a big dimple in the cell that exists on both sides. This is what we call a red blood cell. The job of a red blood cell is to deliver oxygen everywhere in your body. And that chemical that fills up a red blood cell is called hemoglobin, and that's its job. It should be filled up with hemoglobin, and there's not even room for an organelle in there. Notice there's no nucleus in a red blood cell, which means that they have a very short lifespan because they can't correct for things that go wrong with that particular cell. If they lose a protein, then they can't replace it. Right, but its job is to be completely filled with hemoglobin to carry oxygen from your lungs to your tissues. That's its main job. Red blood cell. Anybody know another name for a red blood cell? I'm not sure. Do I have it in my notes? Probably I do, huh? Yeah, I do. Oh, I have them. It's called an erythrocyte. Erythrocyte. Erythro means red. All right, so we have erythrocytes. Okay. I see some other cells. Now, these other cells have a nucleus, like this one here and this one here. The shape of these nuclei are different, which means that these are two different types of cells. If you have a cell that picks up a stain color like this, oh, what color is this? Is it blue?
Purple.
More purple? Okay. If it picks up this purple stain as opposed to these red blood cells, you know this is a leukocyte. And guess what leuko means? It means white. Now, it doesn't look white right here. But in real life, if you don't stain these cells, they do kind of look white. They look off-white. Right. And this kind of leukocyte or white blood cell that's almost completely nucleus, we call that a lymphocyte. And then this one over here that has all these multi-lobes to it, this is what we call a neutrophil. And the job of these things are to fight infection. Right. So part of your immune response. Bacteria, viruses get in the blood. Hopefully these things can recognize it and then figure out a strategy on how to kill those things so that you don't have that infection anymore. The third kind of cell is what I see right here. It's really just a fragment. You can see it's a tiny thing, and this thing is responsible for clotting blood. When you damage a blood vessel, you don't want all that blood just running out of a blood vessel. You want it to form a clot to keep blood in your blood vessels. This is called a thrombocyte. More commonly, it's called a platelet. And it doesn't have a nucleus either. It has a very short lifetime inside the cell. And then it has to be replaced as well. All right, so those are the major cell types. There are actually five kinds of white blood cells, but I don't want to go over them right now. But here is the matrix, right? The matrix does not contain calcium like in a bone, doesn't contain collagen like dense irregular connective tissue. Right, so it doesn't have those fibers or things that make it strong. What can you tell me about maybe the structure or the function of this matrix? Movement, yeah. It's a fluid matrix, so it can actually flow. It can flow from one place in your body to another based on pressure. Right, so because it's a fluid and can flow, it can flow from your heart, which is high pressure, right, to your lungs, which is low pressure, to pick up oxygen, and then back to the heart, where it picks up pressure, and then your heart pumps it everywhere else in your body, like to your brain and muscles, right, releasing that oxygen. All right, so this is a strange connective tissue because it's a fluid connective tissue, but still, it connects different parts of your body, like your lungs to your brain, your lungs to your heart. Your heart to muscles, even in your big toe. So it is a connective tissue. And, of course, it has a matrix as well. All right, here's a funny kind of connective tissue. All right, so what makes a connective tissue different than an epithelium once again? Cells are far apart. What do we call that space between cells? Matrix. Now I want to show you an exception to that rule. I skipped over it. It is this one right here. This is adipose connective tissue. So I want to outline the cell. Maybe I'm going to zoom in. Oh, nice. I'm zooming right in. So here is the cell. I'm outlining the cell. Here's the nucleus of the cell, a little bit of cytoplasm then comes around. That's a cell. Inside the cell is a vacuole that contains oil or fat. And that fat doesn't pick up any stain, so it looks like a bright white signal. And then here is the matrix over here, some cells in the matrix. All right, so what can you tell me about the important thing about this kind of connective tissue? It is the energy that it stores in the form of fat. And do we find the fat intracellular or in the matrix, extracellular? Okay, here's the extracellular space, and you know what? I don't see any fat there. Here's the intracellular space, and that's where I find the vacuole containing all that energy in the form of fat. So here's a connective tissue. The important thing about this connective tissue is not the matrix, but the stuff that's intracellular, right? So usually it's the other way around for connective tissue. It's the junk in the matrix that gives it its special function. But in adipose connective tissue, it's intracellular material, namely lipid, that give connective tissue its particular functional characteristics. All right, so that's pretty good for different kinds of connective tissues. Membranes, there are different kinds of membranes. There's some minor and major kinds of membranes, maybe way down on the bottom. Is that where I have membranes? Yeah. Okay. Usually we want to break them down into two categories, mucous and serous membranes. I think we've mentioned this before. There's some other kinds of membranes, like surrounding your joints. Right, there's a membrane that covers the surface of your body. Sometimes we call that the cutaneous membrane. Cutaneous membrane is the same thing as your skin. Right, but let's look at the two major kinds, mucus and serous. So a mucus membrane lines a cavity that's open to the outside world, like the oral cavity, nasal cavity. Digestive tract is really a tube, open tube running through your body. It has a mucus membrane. A mucous membrane does not necessarily have to secrete mucus to be a mucous membrane. It just has to line a cavity that's open to the outside world, like urinary tract. Reproductive tract is a mucous membrane. So those would be some examples of a mucous membrane. The other kind of membrane that we looked at before is a serous membrane. Anybody remember how many components a serous membrane has? Yeah, three. It's got three. Mucous membrane only has one component to it, just one layer, single layer. But a serous membrane has three different parts to it. Let me go to the next slide and see. I can see it easier on the previous one. Let's zoom right into here. All right, so now we're looking inside the thoracic cavity, and we see the lungs. Where do we? What cavity are these lungs in? Yeah, the pleural cavity. And there are three membranes. Right. Here is a membrane that's right on the surface of the lung. Right. And then I see a space, that's the second component, and then here is a lining right on the pleural cavity. So there are actually two membranes separated by a space. The name of the membrane, right on the visceral organ, right? A visceral organ is an organ inside a body cavity, that's called the visceral serous membrane, and since it's in the pleural cavity, we call that the visceral pleural membrane. And then here's that space filled with fluid. We call that the pleural fluid, serous fluid. It's in the pleural cavity, so pleural fluid. And then here is the lining of the pleural cavity. And so this is what we call the parietal division of this serous membrane. So you got parietal, you got the serous fluid, and then the visceral. And visceral is going to be right on the surface of that organ. All right, so what are some other cavities? Let's see if this is any better to look at. Basically the same thing. All right, so what is this membrane right on the surface of the lungs? Yeah, it's a visceral. What is this membrane right here? I can't hardly see it. Oh, up here I can see it. That is the parietal, right, pleura. And then here's a membrane around the heart. The heart, this cavity right here, the mediastinum is not open to the outside world, so this is not a mucous membrane. This is a serous membrane. And here is the visceral division right on the surface of the heart, right? The visceral pericardium, and then here is the parietal pericardium and a space between them as well, filled with serous fluid. And the same thing for the peritoneal cavity, which is the abdominal and pelvic cavity put together. There's nothing that separates them. Right, so here is, this looks like maybe part of the stomach, right? And here is a lining, the membrane right on the surface of the stomach. This would be the visceral peritoneum. And then here's the serous fluid. And then here is right on the wall of the abdominal or pelvic cavity. So this would be called the parietal peritoneum. All right, so all of these organs are suspended in this serous membrane that you can see right here. And the serous fluid is kind of slippery because these things are all always crawling around inside you, right? Processing food, moving around. All right, so that's different, right? Mucous membranes from serous membranes, know the three divisions of a serous membrane. Some other membranes that we saw, cutaneous, synovials, and joints. Periosteal membrane. Where might you find the periosteum? Periosteum. When you hear osteo, what should you think? Bone. So here's a membrane that surrounds every bone. Peri means surrounding. And where would you find an endosteum? What kind of an organ would have an endosteum? It would be, I think maybe I heard it. What do you know about osteo, osteum? Bone. So here's a membrane associated with a bone, but this lines the interior spaces in a bone, not the exterior surface. All right, so that's the difference between peri and endo. Endo means inside. All right, so those are some other membranes. Okay, let's look at some muscle tissue. Muscle tissue. Muscles exist very close together. So in some sense, they kind of look like an epithelium, but they have a much different specialization. And hopefully you can tell that this slide looks a lot different than anything you've seen before. Right away, something should jump out at you. And what jumps out at you? All of these stripes, right? It's just like a zebra pattern. It's just a dark followed by a light area followed by a dark band. These are what we call striations. These striations are there because of the special little machines that are inside the cell that give muscle its particular characteristic, right? And these little machines just follow each other one after another, one after another, one after another, filling up the whole muscle cell. Okay. And this muscle cell, this is a particular kind of, we call those striations. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say next. Okay. But take a look at this skeletal muscle cell. It's just linear. It doesn't have any branches to it. That's a characteristic of skeletal muscle. On one end, it's connected to a bone. On the other end, it's usually connected to a bone. And when that muscle contracts, those bones come closer together. So these things produce movement of your skeleton. Right? And since they're connected to your skeleton, we call these skeletal muscles, just for that simple reason. Right? And it looks like this. No branching pattern. A lot of striations. All right, so what is the skeletal muscle specialized to do? Movement. I like that. When it does its job, it produces movement. But actually, I want to think even a little bit more basic. You're right. It produces motion. But what does the cell do? A more basic, more easier function to understand. And that is that a muscle cell shortens. it contracts, right? And when it contracts, it pulls bones together, that produces motion or movement. So the specialization for skeletal muscle is contraction. So a muscle cell can get shorter, and it can never get longer. It can never push on anything. Muscles can only pull. The other thing you notice, that it is very linear, and it's really long. And here's nuclei. So I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, 7. This one particular cell has, which we're looking at, 7 nuclei. All right, so we looked at a cell that had no nucleus. What was that one again? Red blood cell. Here's a cell that has many. So you might be wondering, well, why is it so greedy? Why is it that some cells have none, right? But in particular, this one here, it has many. And that's because this skeletal muscle cell at one time was numerous, very short cells. And every short cell had a nucleus, and during development, each of those short cells fused together to form this nice, long, linear structure. So a skeletal muscle cell and a fiber are exactly the same thing, skeletal muscle and fiber. Not so for smooth or other kinds of muscles, but for skeletal, it is. And so we say skeletal muscle is multinucleate. It has many nuclei because of what happened during development. Sometimes those short cells we call progenitor cells, right? So something in them changed to make an adult muscle cell that we see here. All right, so remember, muscle is specialized for contraction. All right, now this slide, next one, has some similarities but also some differences compared to that skeletal muscle. What's similar? What jumps right out at you? The striations, yeah, the stripes. So the internal machines, the internal machinery in cardiac muscle is almost exactly the same as skeletal muscle. We're going to look at that when we get into muscles. Now, what are some differences? Here is the end of one muscle cell. Here's the other end. It is short. So skeletal muscle cells are short. They're also, look at this. Here is a muscle cell, but it also comes down over here. So cardiac muscle cells are branched. Skeletal muscle cells are not. So since these cells are short, when the heart contracts, this one is going to get shorter, this one over here is going to get shorter, and they're going to have a tendency to pull apart from each other, right? Right at this junction between the cells. And if they pull apart, then what would happen? You'd have a hole in your heart, which is not a good thing. So these are special junctions between cells that really glue these cells together. It connects the cells together. It's called an intercalated disc. So it has many different kinds of proteins to make sure the cells don't separate. And it's got other kinds of special proteins so that the cell on the left can communicate with the cell on the right. All right, so it's a special way for cells to communicate with each other as well. When we get to cardiac, we'll talk about that special feature. Okay, so that's cardiac. Some similarities and differences. Another difference is that this heart right here, can you stop your heart? No, it's under automatic control. We call that autonomic control. You cannot control your heart. It controls itself. Your central nervous system controls it for you depending on your level of exercise. Now, what about these over here? Can you control these muscles? Yeah. Ah, these are skeletal muscles, right? You control your skeleton, voluntary control of your skeleton. And as a matter of fact, this is the only thing in your whole body that you can control. Of all the things in your body, skeletal muscle is the only thing under voluntary control. Everything else is controlled by the autonomic nervous system automatically for you. So voluntary versus involuntary. Here is involuntary muscle. And so you can't control your heart muscle at all. Okay, I'm going to turn the lights on. I'm going to pass the pop quiz around for you guys. All right, make sure you put your name on there. Okay, what can you tell me about your heart right now? Okay, is it exactly the same as it was before I walked over to the desk and told you about that quiz? It's not, right? Okay, so you can't control your heart, but your instructor can control it. Right? But you can control it to some degree by meditation, right? Visual meditations or things like that, but you can't cause it to relax like a skeletal muscle. So it really is under involuntary control, but you can modify it to some degree. All right, so here is the next kind of muscle. What's different about this one compared to cardiac and skeletal muscle? No striation. So the internal machines for contraction are different, right? Nonetheless, smooth muscle does contract. It is involuntary, like the heart, but it has no striations, which makes it different than the heart. And it's like a football, and you pick the two ends of the football up and stretch it out. That's what a smooth muscle looks like. It is not branched, and it is short, and it has two pointy ends, and they just all get sandwiched together. So smooth muscle we find in the walls of hollow organs, like digestive tract, reproductive tract. So usually that's where we find it. There's a little skeletal muscle in your skin. That's kind of a weird place for skeletal muscle, but we'll look at that one in just a little bit. And smooth muscle is under involuntary control. No matter how hard you think, I know very few people that can control any kind of smooth muscle, but I'm sure a lot of people would like to be able to control smooth muscle, like organs of the reproductive tract are smooth muscle. Right? So contractions of the uterus, smooth muscle, under involuntary control. Some people, I'm sure, could wish that they could control that, but that's under automatic control. So those are the three kinds of muscles. Make sure you can compare and contrast them by their structure, which means what? Their functions are different, right? Some are voluntary, some are involuntary, some are in certain places in your body, others are in other places. All right, and so they have these little different specializations, but what they share in common, the function they share in common is contraction. They all contract, none can push. The last kind of tissue in our body is nervous tissue. And let's see if I can pull this up. Nervous tissue, nice. All right, so here's a nice micrograph of nervous tissue. And there are two kinds of cells. There are cells that look like this, the dark ones with these long strings coming out of them. Sometimes we call that a process. If there is some projection coming off of a major piece of whatever we're looking at, we call that a process. So here's a process coming off of this major part of a nerve cell that we call the cell body. So here's a process. Some special names for processes could be an axon and dendrite. So axons and dendrites are processes of nerve cells. Dendrites always receive information. Axons send information. It's a sending part of a neuron. And that is the job of the nervous system, to receive and send information very rapidly over long distances in your body, like from your brain to the tip of your big toe. Right? It can send information very, very quickly. And it's electrical. It's an electrical signal. That's the job of a neuron. The second kind of cell in nervous tissue, I see nuclei all over the place here. And this is a brain, so we don't have muscle in our brains. We don't have epithelium in our brains, right? It's just basically just nervous tissue. These support the function of neurons. So we call these support cells. When we get to nervous system, we're going to look at a couple different kinds of support cells, like Schwann cells, neuroglia cells, things like that. But it's still part of the nervous tissue, even though it doesn't conduct electrical impulses. That's the job of a neuron. So here is a really nice illustration of a neuron. The main part of it is the cell body, and it contains the nucleus. I can see the nucleus here. I can see some of these highly branched, short processes. All of these right here are what we're going to call dendrites. And then on some, as a matter of fact, lots of different kinds of neurons, there's a single really long process coming out, goes to really long distance. Right? This is called an axon. And then it branches out, shares information in various places. All right? But basically, it's just one single long process. So the dendrite is the receiving end of information, and the axon is the sending end of this particular neuron. So can you see this shape is different than a cuboidal cell? Yeah? Is it different than an erythrocyte by shape? Can you see the difference right there? Yeah? What about cardiac muscle? Would you get this confused with cardiac muscle? No. Okay. So I think you guys will be pretty good. Once you look at those different tissue types, I think you're going to be in really good shape. All right. I think that's pretty much everything. Okay, for now. Let me find kind of an interesting quiz, right? It's not going to be for course points. We could move on to the next chapter, but I have this in Blackboard as well to help you learn these different kinds of tissues. And I call it a flash quiz because sometimes it happens really fast. All right, do I have it here? Oh, I hope I have it. 5, 2, 3. Ah, flash quiz. Okay, I want that other monitor to go away, so I would like 2 and 2 to give the people on the other side of the room a chance. Okay, don't forget, sign-in sheet is going around. So what do you see on this slide right here? Not much. You just see a white slide with a little square in there. So this is a rest station. You can kind of catch your breath if you want to blink or something, all right? Then you can when you look at this thing. Oh, I got to find my cursor. Ah, there it is. Okay. All right, let's look at the next slide. What can you tell me about this slide? This is not histology, but it has to do with cells. I see, what kind of chromatin do you see? It's condensed chromatin because it's in the form of a chromosome. And what can you tell me about all of the chromosomes? They're lined up right in the middle of the cell. So it's mitosis, and what phase of mitosis? Yeah, metaphase, nice spindle apparatus. And I should have told you that these blue things are chromosomes, right? Are they blue? Yeah, nice. Okay. So these blue things are chromosomes, and so you can tell that they line up right on the equator of the cell. That's one thing to know. What about this here? Cartilage. And you know, three kinds of cartilage. What kind? Hyaline cartilage. What kind of cells are these? Chondrocytes. What's this little bubble called? That's a lacuna. It's a lacuna. Right, and then here is the matrix, no fibers in hyaline cartilage. Right, so you should be able to see that. Now what are these? I see a bunch of cells. Look at the nucleus, that's the key. What phase of the life cycle are these cells in? Do you see chromosomes in here? What kind of chromatin is this? Is it extended or condensed? Extended, because I don't see a chromosome, it hasn't condensed. So what stage of the life cycle do we have extended chromatin? Interphase. Yeah, so all these cells are in interphase when I look at that. That's how I would analyze this slide. Even though I don't see a cell membrane, organelles, it just has a special stain to show up the microtubules and the genetic material inside the nucleus. What's this right here? Yeah, I see anaphase. I see chromosomes that have been separated because I see like a dropout in signal right here in the middle. These chromosomes are not up against the centriole, so it's not telophase. And so I would say anaphase for this one, of mitosis, right? Anaphase, not of interphase, but of mitosis. What kind of cells are these? Or what kind of tissue? Bone. And on a practicum, make sure you tell me not only bone, but what kind of tissue does it belong to? Is it epithelium, muscle, nerve, or connective? Yeah, so on a practicum, say bone, CT. You don't have to write out connective tissue. You can abbreviate CT. Right? And unfortunately, people are going to make a mistake. They're going to say simple cuboidal connective tissue. Right? Just so got to make sure you know the different kinds of different classes of your tissues. What do we got here? Nice basement membrane, lumen of some kind of tube. Here is the lining of that tube. So this is epithelium. And you classify by the layers, and you're right. How many layers? It's simple. And what's the shape of the cell? Cuboidal. So here's a simple cuboidal epithelium. Nice. Is that pretty easy to see once you analyze that? Always find the basement membrane and then the apical surface, right, just to kind of give you your bearings to get you started on that epithelium. What's this, another epithelium? No, this is blood, so make sure you know the names of all these cells. Oh, what is it? Yeah, it's blood CT, not blood epithelium, right, or blood muscle, blood nerve, no, blood CT. I don't think I showed this slide to anybody yet, but I see, what are these things? Cilia, what kind of cell is this? And as a matter of fact, you're exactly right, that is a goblet cell. And in a lot of cases, the goblet cell looks white, but in this case, a special stain was used to stain mucus this nice color, whatever that is, orange or red or something like that. Okay, so here's a goblet cell. Here's the basement membrane, connective tissue underneath it. All right, so this is what we call a pseudostratified ciliated. And what's the shape of the cells up here in this apical layer? They're columnar. So here is a pseudostratified ciliated columnar epithelium. And a really nice place for this is lining the trachea or your windpipe. And of course, these cilia are sweeping that mucus around all the time. When we get to respiratory tract, I'll ask you, which way is it sweeping? Yeah. Okay, like these cilia right here? They're sweeping mucus secreted from the goblet cells onto the surface right here. And it sweeps it in one direction. When we get to the respiratory system, we'll learn what direction that is, but I bet you can figure it out before then. Okay, so it either sweeps up or sweeps down. And in that mucus, I can see dust particles and bacteria and viruses and all kinds of junk. Okay, so where would you like to have that junk? In your mouth or in your lungs? In your mouth, right? So you can swallow it down and get it out of your body. Yeah, you don't want your lungs filling up with that stuff. Okay, next slide. Basement membrane. Connective tissue down over here. And then, if this is a basement membrane, how many layers is this? Is it simple? No, it's stratified. And what is the shape of the cells on this apical region? Squamous. So here's a stratified squamous epithelium. Right? And the stratified nature means that these cells here can rub off, and it's not going to damage this tissue because there are many cells underneath it to replace the ones that rub off. Right? Like skin and the mucous membrane in your mouth. All right, here's a tube. Here's the basement membrane. Huh? Yeah, cuboidal cells, I like that. Now, is it simple or stratified? Stratified cuboidal, nice. Here is that funny one. Here is the basement membrane. Always find that basement membrane first. Then here's that free space. So here's the apical surface. What are the shape of these cells here? They're not, are they columnar? I would say, are they cuboidal? And they're kind of puffy, so they're not squamous. These are what we call transitional, right? They can be short and puffy, or they can stretch out and be kind of flat. That's their job, right? So like, for instance, in the urinary bladder, that changes shape all day long from big to small, big to small. Okay, what do you do in order to get the bladder small, to get the cells like this all kind of puckered up like this? Thick and not very long, thick and short. What do? You stretch them, yes, but what do? How do you stretch them? By, that's a nice word to know, you void, right? You void the urinary bladder of urine, right? And so they change their shape when you void. Okay, here it is. Is this an epithelium?
No,
it is a CT. And I see a bunch of fibers. Make sure you know the names of all these different fibers, like this one right here. Collagen, yeah, stretchy one. Elastic. And I don't see any reticular in here. Here's ground substance. Here's a cell. Tell me the name of this cell. Fibroblast. Right. Not nucleus, because nucleus is organelle. This is a fibroblast. And, oh, what's the name of the CT? It is areolar. Areolar connective tissue. That's a good one. That's a good word to know. Areolar. And here. This is a little bit different slide that's in your book, but really similar. Actually, I like this one better. Okay, this is adipose connective tissue. Here's the matrix. Here is the adipocyte or fat cell. And this is sort of a misnomer to be a connective tissue because the important thing in this tissue is intracellular, is not extracellular. So this oil drop inside the fat cell is what gives this tissue its particular characteristics. So it's not in the matrix. It's within the cell. It's intracellular. Whoa, what's happening here? I can feel something happening here. Okay. Telophase. You know what? I like this to be mitosis. I like mitosis because I can see structures inside the nucleus, which means what? Extended or condensed? It's condensed, right? Which means mitosis can take place without damaging this genetic material. Right? But do you see any clear chromosomes? I see some chromosomes that are forming. So what phase of mitosis do chromosomes form? that's going to be? IP, MAT is going to be the first one, which is? Prophase. Prophase. Interphase, remember, extended chromatin, and that happens before mitosis. So interphase is between different mitotic events. All right, so here's prophase. Don't have to tell me early or late. What's this? It's a connective tissue, and it's dense, but irregular. Dense, irregular connective tissue. Here is highly branched, very darkly stained fibers, reticular CT, basement membrane, apical surface, stratified, columnar, epi. On a practicum, you don't have to write out epithelium. You can just put EPI, epi, for epithelium. But don't put epithelium for, this. What is this? This is smooth muscle. Okay, so smooth muscle is not epithelium. That's not CT. I don't see any striations. These are short cells, and they're not branched. Oh, this one you know. Simple columnar. Here is another dense CT. Yeah, dense regular. All the collagen's going in one direction. Haven't looked at this one yet, but you could probably figure this one out. Here's the basement membrane. So this is a stratified epithelium, and all these cells are flat, so here's a stratified squamous epithelium. This actually is a picture of skin. Okay. And what's this? Cardiac muscle. What's that? Telophase. What's happening during this phase? Cytokinesis. Here we go. What's this? What kind of cells do I see right here and here? I like it. I think I heard chondrocytes. Yes, chondrocytes. Okay, chondrocytes in lacunae. And what kind of cartilage is this? Okay, what kind of cartilage is this? Strong or weak? Strong. Collagen fibers. This is fibrocartilage. Fibrocartilage. Yeah. And here. Skeletal muscle, that's easy to see. Oh, I haven't showed you this, but here's a basement membrane. All these different layers, so this is a stratified, these cells up here are flat, stratified squamous epithelium, and indeed this is skin. We'll get to that in the next chapter really, really soon. What do we got here? Nice speckled pattern. Cartilage, what kind? Elastic, all these elastic fibers right there, a little bit different than what's in your book. Ooh, what's this? I know this one. The chromosomes are all over the place. They're not lined up in the middle, right? I don't see like two lines. They're just all over the place, randomly arranged. This is prophase, right? So the chromosomes have condensed, but they haven't been arranged on the spindle apparatus yet. Okay, now they have in this particular picture. So here's mitosis, right? Y'all agree this is mitosis? What phase? Metaphase, when all the chromosomes line up, metaphase. All right, cartilage, what kind? Hyaline cartilage, and you know these chondrocytes and lacunae. All right, let's see if we can just do it a little bit faster. We still got a few minutes in class. When is this class over, 12:15? 12:05. All right, we can go through this 20 times yet. Okay, so don't blink. What is that? Interphase. Yeah, it's a phase of the cell cycle. All right, what's that? Anaphase. I see the chromosomes separating, but not quite telophase, not pulled over to the centrioles. What's that? Ah, you guys are good. You didn't leave off CT. Yeah, bone CT. Ooh, what's that? Simple cuboidal epi. Blood CT. Was that easy? It's really easy. A lot of these are easy. Once you see it a couple times, I think you're going to pick it up. If you're freaking out right now because you don't see it, I bet you'll get it down pretty fast, right, if you apply yourself. What's this next one? Oh, that's a difficult one. Pseudostratified, ciliated, columnar epithelium. What kind of cells are these? Goblet cells. What do they secrete? Mucus. Right. Okay, next one. Don't blink. Stratified squamous, right? Stratified squamous cells right here. It's an epithelium. Stratified cuboidal. Transitional what? Muscle? Epi. transitional epi. That's a one that you had trouble pronouncing, I think. That's areolar CT. Areolar CT had some collagen, had some elastic. Adipose CT. Prophase. Chromosomes are just beginning to condense. Talking about dense. Here is dense irregular CT. And here we have reticular fibers. Stratified columnar. Should we go back just a little bit? Columnar, more than one layer. Stratified columnar. Smooth muscle. Simple columnar. Epi. Dense regular CT. Basement membrane, flat cells, stratified squamous epithelium, cardiac muscle, yep, not cardiac CT, make sure you say that. And here is telophase. You want to say telophase, that's fine with me, with cytokinesis, fibrocartilage, all those collagen fibers, skeletal muscle, stratified squamous epithelium. I don't know, did we go over this already? Maybe we're starting again. Wow, what was that? Maybe you weren't watching the screen. What's that? Elastic cartilage. Elastic cartilage. All right, what's this one? Prophase. What's this one? Metaphase. Cartilage of the type hyaline, and it belongs to CT. At the CT, hyaline cartilage CT. Ready? Interphase. Anaphase. Bone CT. I showed you that for way too long a period of time. Okay, it should go a lot faster than that. So on a practicum, you'll have that picture right there, and you'll be there for probably a minute and a half or a minute. You just saw that in less than a second. You're probably going to be bored out of your mind during the practicum, because you're going to have all those extra seconds, like almost 100 extra seconds, right? So bone, simple cuboidal, epi, blood CT, I like it. And then lastly, you want to call it epi, nice. Stratified squamous. Wow, you guys are seeing that histology just like that. That's nice. What's that? Stratified cuboidal. Transitional. Areolar CT. Nice. Adipose CT. That was prophase. That was the beginning of prophase. Condensation was taking place. Ready? Dense irregular. Reticular, stratified columnar, smooth muscle. Yeah, the whole thing, epi. Dense regular what? CT. Stratified squamous. Wow, you would impress a pathologist. You could see it just like that so fast. Cardiac muscle. Telophase, fibrocartilage. Okay, so there is a video that just does that same thing in Blackboard. I think it is maybe called a flash quiz of some kind. Maybe I go through it twice, once relatively slow, then another time a little faster. Oh, maybe even a third time really fast. So you can practice all those things like in just seconds, probably not even a minute. Okay? All right, so we are done with lecture today, but before you go, make sure you sign the sign-in sheet. And I don't even think I want to go through the flash quiz one more time, but maybe I'll do it next time, just for review. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Oh yeah, all the lectures are online. The page is there. Yeah, you know, I don't have any PowerPoints, I don't think. Ah, yeah. Those are just Microsoft Word files. And they're there. Under, I think, lecture slides. They're all there.
So for the next quiz on Wednesday, do we still have to look at the cranial and also the...
Yeah, I tell you what, I gotta stop this recorder. It's okay. And I'm not having very good luck.